Would you pray with me this morning? Father, as we open your holy word this morning, Lord, may you hide me behind the cross. Lord, may I be a godly steward of your word. And Lord, as your word clearly says, we pray with great expectation that transformation would take place. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, things look a little different up here. Pastor Ronnie called me Monday and said, hey, there's a chance. And he asked me would I be willing to fill in, and I said, yes, sir. I've got a message that I've prepared for April the 30th, which is Youth Sunday. But Tuesday, God began to speak to my heart, and thinking about this being Palm Sunday, he laid the title of the message, Road to Redemption. And I got to be honest with you, I'm going to tell you where it came from. And I've been very humble, and I'm going to continue to be because I learned a lot. I'm a Carolina fan, and Carolina was blessed enough to win the national championship. And as I'm sitting at my desk reading, the title of the article was Carolina's Road to Redemption. And I began to think about redemption and this road and Palm Sunday, and God just kind of laid things out, and so I began to put my notes together, which are on my desk in Fayetteville, North Carolina. But I prayed this. I said, God, if it's your will for me to share this message, then I'm always willing. So I get a call at 7:45 for thy will to be done. But here's what I want you to understand. It is about Jesus Christ. It is about this road to redemption. And so I want to take us through this journey real quick this morning. And there will be some similarities that I may use as far as the Carolina Tar Heels and that journey. But this is what I want you to do. I want you to take Palm Sunday. I want you to take God's Word, and I want you to apply it to your life. What can Palm Sunday and this road to redemption do for you and I as Christians today? That's what my heart's desire is. And so that word desire is my first point. There took a desire to begin this road to redemption. You cannot look, and I cannot look, at the cross of Calvary without looking at an occurrence that happened in a garden. When we were created. Genesis chapter 3. I want to read verses 4 through 8. You will not surely die. This is Satan. The serpent said to the woman, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband, Adam, who was with her, and he ate also. Then the eyes of both of them were open and they realized that they were naked. How many of you have ever heard of a show called Naked and Afraid? I don't get it. I really don't get it. But I do get this. Adam and Eve were the only two of God's creation that experienced paradise. Do you realize that? They are the only two that really and truly have a first-hand account of what it was like when God first intended to create you and I. oh my, look where we're at today. When God created man and created woman, listen to this. There was perfect communion just as God designed it. Just as His heart what desired. But because of what occurred, we alienated ourselves from Him, from our Creator. God's Word no longer being our standard. Do you see that today? That God's Word, the Scriptures, are not the world standards? Really, there's two wisdoms. I taught this to the students. There's a worldly wisdom, which is directly from Satan. And then there is a godly wisdom, which is from Scripture and the Holy Spirit. Let me ask you a question. Where is your wisdom coming from? We're faced every single day to exercise our faith in wisdom. In handling situations. I want you to do this. I want you from now on, when you have a situation in your life, I want you to think back to this road that Jesus walked. Us being able to, unable to fulfill our created purpose was broken. It was a separation. But God still had the desire for what He first created. Then we look at our knowledge of who God was, and that knowledge become shadowed, and we became ignorant of the truth of God because of sin. You see, redemption is your fault and mine. That's the reason why Jesus had to walk this road, because of you and me. It's personal. I'm to blame. Do you understand that? Do you ever humble yourself? We're going to talk about humility in a moment, but do you ever humble yourself and realize that it's our fault? Our experiencing this word life became the realization of death. God created you and I to experience life. You cannot have life without Jesus Christ. The New Testament preaches that He is life. Without Jesus, you are merely existing. No wonder your life is so confusing. And there's so much disorder. God is a God of order. He is a God of desire, and it's all because He loved what He first created. It's amazing that He chose to destroy the earth in the flood. How did that work out? How did it work out? We're no different. Noah was righteous. He was a godly man. But you see, I'm going to tell you something, and I share this with the students. And you and I need to know this, and it has to do with humility. Sin is just underneath the surface of your heart, and I'm telling you where it wants to be. It wants to be out. But Scripture says that we can live a life, Paul says, without stumbling. If we, what students? Abide in the vine. Jesus, His desire in the garden. And then you look at this and how do we apply it to our life today? Well, let me tell you something. It takes desire. First of all, you have to be a participant. You have to experience the conversion. Jesus Christ saving you. You being transformed. You're no longer who you were. Woo! It's gone. You are a new creation. And we should act like it. The world should see that newness. Not who we once were. When they see us today, they should look at us and like, who are you? Praise God, I am not who I once was. Amen. The community that know you, the community that knows me, who do they know today? Do they know Alan today, or do they know Alan in 1985, 86? There was a transformation that took place in September of 1987. Praise God, He changed me. Amen. But I fail Him every day. I fall short every day. But this is what Jesus says to me when I look at Thomas. He says, Alan, it's okay. Jesus doesn't look at you and I. What did you just do? I can't believe that you just said that. Now, this is what Jesus, in His gentleness and in His meekness and in His desire to love us, this is what He says. I knew you were going to do it. He knows me. This Christ who desired to love me, He knows me. He knows my weaknesses. He knows the area of my life that I'm a little bit stronger. But what He wants is He wants Alan to be fully dependent upon Him. And you see, when you're fully dependent upon the one that desired to walk this road to redemption, then you are the redeemed.
Amen.
It took desire. Jesus had a desire. It took Jesus being deliberate. Okay? I'm going to go ahead and tell you what that means to you and I today. What it means to this church. It means that we must be deliberate in sharing the gospel with the lost. We should be deliberate in every decision that we make that impacts the community and the body of believers that should, as you're going to see in just a moment because of that right there, what God intends for us to do as a church and as individuals. The road to redemption was on purpose for one purpose. It was on purpose and for one purpose. Jesus was born a winner. He was born a winner. You and I, we lost. The loss took place in the Garden of Eden. And Jesus began this road to redemption because guess what? There was unfinished business. You see, Carolina started their road to redemption last year whenever they got beat by 1 point. Now, you may say, oh, no. It was a last-second three-pointer. Listen, you only lose by 1 point. It only takes 1 point to lose. Here's my point. It only takes one sin to destroy everything that God created.
Amen.
One. And let me tell you something, Christians. It takes one sin to send you to destruction. Because it will control you. It will push you farther than you ever wanted to go. It'll cost you more money than you have to spend. And it'll rip you, strip you, destroy you. I'm telling you the truth. Sin caused this. That was the purpose. That's where the road began. But praise God, Jesus did not give up on us. And I don't know where you're at in your spiritual walk, but I will tell you this. The Scripture says, the Holy Spirit shares within me, God will never give up on you.
Amen.
So here's what I want us to see as a church. If God will not give up on you and I, do you think He will ever, after spending time going to the cross, ever give up on this community?
No.
Drug dealer.
No.
Adulteress. Adulterer.
No.
He paid it all. Let me tell you something, church. It is finished.
Amen.
33 years. The King. The King. Capital K. No other. served humbly for 33 years. Oh, what a triumphal entry Jesus experienced. There's one verse in the Old Testament that refers to the word Hosanna. It's found in Psalms 118, verse 25, and it says this. And this is what I want you to think about when you think of Palm Sunday, and when you think about where you would have been at that time, because you would have been somewhere. It says, "Oh Lord, save us." Oh Lord, we have no relationship with you. Sin has taken that away. It has stripped us. It has robbed us. Oh, save us, Lord. And he heard. He's all-knowing. And I'll go back to something that was said, and I'm going to make a clarification right now. What moves me about God's love is that Him being all-knowing, having foreknowledge, creating us for this purpose, intimacy, joy, peace. I want my creation to love me because they choose to love me. And so He gave us free will. But He still loved us anyway and sent Jesus on this road to redeem, to take care of the unfinished business. Church, we have unfinished business. We will always have unfinished business until Jesus Christ calls us to be with Him. And the unfinished business is to complete the Great Commission with joy, with vigor, with purpose and desire. And you got to do it deliberately. It was Jesus' destiny. Destiny. Jesus was born to what? To die. Jesus Christ was born for one purpose, and that was to go to the cross and die, to take the blame for which He had nothing to do with. We don't even do that for one another. I'll tell you what we do. This is not my words. This is from a song. But it sums it up. It hit me right between the eyes when I heard it. Rather than you and I try to keep up with the Joneses, why don't we just celebrate that they're our neighbors and share Jesus with them? Amen. That's not my words. It's a Christian song. But here's what we do. When someone's down, we trample them. We don't bend over to lift them a hand. You know, our first response is not forgiveness. Help us. Help us. When we see people in need, we turn the other way. I'll pray for them. Why don't you give them what they need? So with that being said, we all agree that this community needs who? They need Jesus. My question to you is, why are you not giving it to them? The question to me is, why, Alan, are you not giving them what they need? It is something that you have, and I am passionate about it. And it is not for me to keep. It is for me to share. Amen. Gosh, Lee, if we're not sharing the gospel in our homes and in our communities, it does us no good to come and to gather as God's people. It really matters out in the world. You know what? There's an expectation for you to be Christ-like in church. But the rubber meets the road when you get in your car and you go out to Ray Road and you turn left or you turn right and you go to your home. Are you influencing your neighborhood? Are you influencing those in your workplace? That is not what God has called you to do. Your purpose is to share Jesus Christ 24 hours, 7 days a week, 365 days. And that means that we must abide in Christ. He paid it all so that we have an opportunity to do exactly what I just said. Jesus' destiny, Jesus' identity. I want you I'm just going to give you the reference because of time. John chapter 18, verses 33 through 38. This is interesting because in verse 33, Jesus' identity is questioned. Jesus then clarifies the question because Pilate was asking as a Roman. And it's probably not going to make sense. I'm not going to read the whole reference. But I do want to read what I'm talking about so that you understand. John 18, verse 33. Pilate then walked inside the palace. He summoned Jesus and he asked him a question. Are you the King of the Jews? This is Jesus' response. Is that your idea? Jesus asked, or did others talk to you about me? Now there's significance here in this question because Jesus, when he first responds, he's responding and asking as a Roman. In other words, Pilate, are you asking me this question as a Roman? Because if so, then the answer is going to be no. Jesus was not a Roman king. Do you understand? Because Jesus was not a Roman king, however, if Pilate would have asked on behalf of the Jews, then obviously the answer to the question was what?
Yes.
You see, Jesus then was indeed the Messiah. He was the King of the Jews, period. End of discussion. And that is something that you and I do not have to negotiate in this world. It is fact, Jack. He is the only king. Jesus, he was chosen as a substitute. The people chose to crucify Jesus, who had no sin, for one who was a known sinner, Barabbas. Jesus was my substitute. You see, I didn't play the game well. You see, I lost the first time. So Jesus says, Alan, I love you, but I'm going to substitute myself for you because I'm a winner. And I'm not winning because of me. I'm going to win because of you. I'm going to win and redeem you. Christians, you have been redeemed. Amen. Jesus was mocked and scorned, chapter 19, verses 1 and 4, hurling insults. And I'm gonna speak about this really quick, and one reason is because the little skit that the Patch Kids did mentioned this about this mocking and about this insulting. I want to share some scripture with you. It's found in in Matthew, chapter 5, and it's something that you and I need to get. Let's see, 21 and 22. This is Jesus speaking. Caption is about murder. It says, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to his brother, raka. Now that word raka is basically, it's a translation into insult someone. But anyone who says, you fool, that's translated into the word idiot, will be in danger of the fires of hell. Let me tell you a quick story, because God slapped me in the mouth. And I'm going to be vulnerable and I'm going to be open with you. I'm standing in our kitchen a year or two ago. And my son was sharing some information. He works at Hobbytown. And you have all these guys that come in and spend money on these hobbies, these cars and so forth and so on. And this guy comes in who I do not even know, never met. Kobe shares with me the amount of money that he spends on this hobby. And here was my response. He's an idiot. And he looked at me. And I will never forget my son's look on his face. First of all, it shocked him that it came out of my mouth. And then my 16 or 17-year-old rebuked me. And I am so sorry that I ever did that. It damaged my witness before him. My wife was there. And I asked him, I said, son, please forgive me. Lord, please forgive me. So I'm going to tell you, since that day, that word is not in my vocabulary. But you know, there's other words that we use. And it goes back to what I said before. Kick them when people are down. Kick them when they're down. And lastly, Jesus did not deserve to have to walk this road to redemption. But we lost everything in the garden, but we gained everything back in the garden. Sin came into the world in the Garden of Eden. The decision was made, and I'm going to explain what I'm talking about. The decision was made in the Garden of Gethsemane. And this is what I mean. It's found in Mark chapter 14, verses 33 through 36. Pilate refers to Jesus and he says, I find no fault in this what? Man. Jesus was born as a babe. He was fully man and he was fully God. But you see, God cannot have anything to do whatsoever with sin. Nothing. In order for Jesus to take our sin upon himself, he had to do it as fully man. This is what's so amazing. It says in Romans 5:19, for as by the one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners, you and I, so that by the one man's obedience, Jesus Christ, the many will be made righteous. When the man Jesus made his choice that it would not be his will, but thy will, church, the victory was won. Amen. We lost it in the garden. We won it in the garden. Amen. It's just a shame that Carolina didn't win the national championship in the garden. That really would have tied in great. Man's will. Our will. We're going to be forced with this here in just a few minutes when we walk out those doors. Man's will, our choice is to sin, and the choice leads to death. But God's will, His choice, Jesus Christ, was to live a life sinless, which means that we can have life through Him. We can be redeemed. This road to redemption was because of you. And He saved you and I anyway. It takes sinlessness to obtain His inheritance. And you see, when Christ comes into your life and your sins are forgiven, guess what? We're given His inheritance through trusting Jesus as our Savior. Easter, Palm Sunday, it means something. Amen. We're going to go into a time of invitation. And this is simply what I want you to do. I want you to ponder this road. What Jesus had to do and chose to do for you and I. And I want you to really this morning make it personal. If you just need to come and pray and thank God that He chose to do what He did. And then to pray that, God, when I walk out these doors, may I understand what redemption means to me. And then we will close, and then we will go. This Easter egg basket represents something. We're having an Easter egg hunt next Sunday. You've been to different Easter egg hunts. Some Easter egg hunts you go to, they actually really try to hide the eggs. And usually when they hide the eggs, I know that my mother-in-law, she would have this special egg, this golden egg. And whatever or whoever, Ashton and Kobe, found that golden egg, there was something special in it. Money, usually money. And although the kids were focused upon all the other eggs, they were out there looking for what? The golden egg. Why? Because it had something special. A lot of times now, what we will probably do, unless I'm absolutely wrong, but we will actually, in our Easter egg hunt, we will just basically just kind of throw the eggs out there. Kind of hide them in plain sight, if you will. This is what I want us to see. Okay? Every single time you see an Easter egg, think about this here being this basket. To be quite honest with you, as I look across all the different colors, I'm envisioning Easter eggs with eyes. But this is what I want you to see. Every Easter egg has something special as a Christian. And it's the greatest gift. Money can't buy it. Nothing can buy it. It's Jesus Christ. And so after this invitation, when you leave, I want you to be hidden in plain sight. I want to pour this basket of eggs out into our community. Hidden to where people can see Christ living in you and in me. Don't make them hunt. Don't confuse them by the way that you and I are living our lifestyle. No, no, no. Be very, very clear of who you represent. Amen. Be a light. Amen. Let's stand. As I pray, if you want to pray with me, I am more than willing to do so. If you've never trusted Christ as your personal Savior and you want to begin understanding more, come to me and I'll lead you in a prayer. But I challenge you, church. I challenge you. Come to the altar and thank God for His choice to choose Jesus and send Him on the road to redemption. Let's pray. Father, may You have Your way this morning. Lord, I pray that, Father, we are revived. That, Lord, this Palm Sunday, as You come in on a donkey, an animal that is one of the most humble animals, Father, may we, as we live in this world, may we walk around as if we're on a humble donkey. Lord, that we understand that we are not superior to anyone. We're simply sinners saved by the grace of the Redeemer. My prayer is that it's personal with you this morning. Jesus' name. Always in Jesus' name. Amen.